evening, everyone. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. We're going to do a couple interactive things today. I hope that when you got in, everyone? Okay. We hope that before you leave tonight that there's a white backdrop in the back, and I think there's a chalkboard, and it just simply says 2013 is the year of...
2013, I am.
Okay. When I'm out of town, everything changes, okay? So it says, in 2013, I am... okay? And so we want you to fill it out, and we're going to put a montage together of everything, and so it would be very helpful if you did that before you left tonight. Turn our Bibles to 2 Chronicles. My title of my message today is if. It's real simple. IF, if. New year if. There's going to be a lot of ifs this year. There has been a lot of ifs last year. Well, this year. We're not done yet. But let's do a couple interactive things, okay? Why don't you turn to your neighbor? You pick one. I don't care which one you pick. You don't have to say the hey, good-looking part if that's really uncomfortable for you. But if you want to, you can as well. And just share with your neighbor one thing that you're very thankful for in 2012. Something that you're very thankful for in 2012. If you need a Bible, Pastor Eugene will pass it out here. I want you to stay with this person, okay? Because they're going to do something else now. So turn to the same person, okay? So because you're going to do three things today. So turn to the same person because I'm going to have you go a little deeper in your relationship with one another, all right? And so with the same person that you've been talking to, and I noticed some of you guys are not doing it, and so that you're not paying attention. That means you're disrespecting me right now. Right, so don't do that, and pay attention, and do what you need to do. So, I want you to turn to that same neighbor, and just I want you to share with them your last meal tomorrow night. What's going to be your last meal? It's because we know on January 2, we're fasting as a church, right? So I know you guys are thinking about it already. I'm thinking about it as well. I got so many choices to make. What's your last meal going to be tomorrow night? So something that you were thankful for, that very thankful for, and then something or what you're going to eat. Anyone here planning to have a big, fat, juicy steak? All right. Call me up. My wife is sick of steak. Give me a call, man, tomorrow night. I'll join you wherever you guys go. All right. I'm serious. Give me a call. No joke. Okay. Now... since you built some relationship with each other, there's a little bit of rapport going on. I'm going to make you a little deeper, okay? I want you to share one thing that you regret in 2012. So quiet, what happened? All right, take some time. I got to give you some time. We have all night. What is one thing that you regret? You regret doing or you regret not doing I told you, I want to make you guys get a little deeper in your relationship with each other. What is something that you regret or that you regretted this past year? I'm not talking about like when you're in fifth grade. I'm talking about 2012. Would anyone like to share their regret? Any brave soul? Any house church leader? It's okay. My regret? Mine's actually quite easy. I regret many times that I didn't spend enough time with my wife this year. Well, that's the true answer. So I'm trying a little better in 2013. Thank you. I need a lot of prayers. I don't want to get on a side note, but I think I realized how important it was to build your family. You know, I think for me, this as an honest confession, you know, I've got three great kids, and I have a great wife, and she's very forgiving and very understanding. And I think when you have those type of situations in your life, you very easily tend to take advantage of them and take many things for granted. And so I think for a long time, that was kind of me. I'm not a bad guy. I'm a pretty good guy. And things, I like to think, you'd ask my wife on Sunday. But I realized that it's not, you just, in terms of family life and marriage and being a father and all these things, it's going to take an intentional focus in my life. You know, I'm focused in ministry. You know, I'm very intentionally focused on studying God's word and sermons and these type of things. And I realized that I also need to have an intentional focus when it comes to my marriage and my family. And I think that's been a conviction probably for the last 6 months or so that's been really stirring in my heart. And so one of the byproducts of that really is, this coming year, all the board members switched roles. And some of you guys may know or may not have even known that each of the board members were meant to be a liaison to a certain ministry. In other words, their whole thing was not to go in and meddle in and tell everyone what to do, but to be a resource and be a place of help and say, hey, What do you need to run your ministry effectively? And the last 2 years, I was basically in charge of prayer, IP and Cascade in the Well. And so I meet with the leaders quite regularly. And now this year, when we finished our round, and so everyone's picking a new thing or somewhere just assigned, this year I dedicate myself to take over the men's and women's ministries. And I feel like, I don't want to use the word take over, but to help. Because it's not gonna be a takeover, because our leaders are doing a good job. But I really feel like really building up men and women individually, especially married men and married women, and kind of helping that to really grow. And I think when that becomes very healthy and the relational dynamics of things, I think the church is going to be very healthy. I think families are going to be healthy, and kids will be healthy and whatnot. And so I think that's definitely something that I'm really looking forward to in 2013. Is for me, more than anything, is a real challenge, you know. And I thrive on challenge, and so I'm quite pumped about that. And so that's my own regret talking about it. And I wanted to kind of start off the night with that in mind, because a lot of times when we think about going into the new year, everything's new. And I mean, we saw the video, and it's just really weird. I probably say this every New Year's Eve service, but every time I want to think about the new and the next year and all that kind of stuff, I always hear the Holy Spirit in my heart say, "Hey, remember. I do want to move on from the past. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be stuck in the past. And but at the same time, I want to remember my past. I want to remember what happened this year, because one of the driving forces for me personally is I don't want to live in regret. I don't want a year pass by. And this year, this end of the year, is always a really good time for reflection. You reflect at your work, how you did. There's performance reviews. There's all kinds of things. And then you come to this place, and I realize, you know what? God is giving me a new year starting. There's something quite joyful about that. But with that in mind, too, is there's also the past that I need to reconcile. And I need to reconcile my past so I can move on into my future. Not that I'm bound by my past, but it helps me to launch me into what God has in store for me. And I always feel like the Holy Spirit always says, remember. And for me personally, it's not just remember this past year in terms of regrets and joys and all these things, but even going way back and remember again and again and again. And even, I mean, I really feel really bad. I should maybe repent to Pastor Nate. But I wasn't really paying attention to much of the worship songs today, because it's the song just keeps ringing in my mind. I don't know why. It's every time, it's New Year's Eve service, when there was such a jumble of thoughts about the new and then the old and the remember. And there's a song that I sing constantly, it seems like, during the season. And I think you still don't know the song, huh? Even though I share it every New Year's Eve service, but that's a bad regret on your part. You should learn this song. But it's an old, and I probably literally share this every New Year's Eve service. But it says, Oh Lord. I am amazed at your love for me. When I was lost and alone in the darkness, you found me. And I come to this place and I'm always reminded that before I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was alone and lost in the darkness. I was in a place of no purpose, no passion, nothing. And then I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed everything. And I think as we launch into 2013, it's good for us to remember a bit. It's good for us to go back and think about the year that passed by. And, you know, so many incredibly wonderful things happened this past year. I was just in Beijing this past week, over the weekend. And even though a lot of the people, most of the expats in Beijing are gone. And so, but still, a lot of people showed up on Sunday. And it was a real blessed, amazing time. And, you know, just so amazed that we, this little church here in Hong Kong, were able to plant another church in Beijing. And then, you know, another one is you know, shortly about to launch, hopefully, in Singapore. And it's just amazing to see how God kind of moves and works in our midst. And so many wonderful, wonderful things took place this year. But also, I'm sure, and this, I don't want this to be the dwelling point, but I'm sure there's many things that happened that we wish didn't happen. I think there are many things that that were in our control. I'm not talking about life that just happened to you, but I'm talking about the choices that you made in life that made life happen to you in that sense. And I want to speak out of that place today. That's why my message today is called If. It's this big if that we have. And turn to 2 Chronicles. Let's read this, chapter 7. And let's just go down to the main verse is verse 14. But let's carry this through for a little bit. It's a beautiful passage, actually. Many of us are familiar with verse 14, but the whole chapter is actually quite astounding. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, 'Truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting.' Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests stood at their posts, and the Levites, and the instruments of music to the Lord, which King David had made for giving praise to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Whenever he gave praise by their means, while the priests on the other side blew trumpets, and all Israel was standing. Then Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, and for there he offered the burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to contain the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the fat. So Solomon observed the feast at that time for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly who came from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day they held a solemn assembly for the dedication of the altar. They observed 7 days and the feast 7 days. Then on the 23rd day of the month, of the 7th month, he sent the people to their tents, rejoicing and happy of heart because of the goodness that the Lord had shown to David and to Solomon and his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace, and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, tonight. We thank you for so many brothers and sisters, God, Lord, that came out tonight. And, Lord, we could have been doing so many different things, Lord, but we came to the house of the Lord. And so we ask, God, that you would come, Lord, and you would meet us, God. You'd meet us in this place of sacrifice, Lord. You'd meet us in your house, God, and that you would do something supernatural in our life tonight. God, it's a short service. God, it's a fun service, Lord. It's a service dedicated to you, God, launching into the new year. But Lord, even in the midst of this time, God, come, Holy Spirit, and breathe on us. To that end, God, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself. I ask that you use me tonight to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. We thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is actually a response to chapter 6. When you read chapter 6, Solomon actually consecrates and dedicates the temple, which his father had longed to happen. Remember, for many, many generations, the house of God was a tent. And now finally, as the Ark of the Covenant came back to Jerusalem, came back to the people of God, Solomon was chosen, handpicked to build a temple where the glory of God, the resting presence of God would remain. And so in the midst of that, when the dedication is happening, Solomon offers up this quite a beautiful prayer, and it's really about forgiveness. And the prayer, he does it in many different ways, but basically the idea is, God, will you hear us when this happens? God, we beseech you that you listen to our prayers when this situation comes upon us. Even when a foreigner and there's disturbance, God, even in this time, would you hear our prayers? And so that's kind of the backdrop, and that goes to chapter 6. And then chapter 7 is God's resounding reply to Solomon and the people of Israel. And the first thing that happens is, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. In other words, this typical scenario where the glory, where the fire of God came down and the glory of God came down, was a very, very common occurrence. Even though, I mean, it was not common in the sense it happened a lot, but it was a common occurrence when God came to answer powerfully a prayer. And so the fire comes down to consume the sacrifice and the glory of God. The passage, if you read carefully, it talks about the Shekinah glory. It's very particular. The glory of God comes down and fills the house. And by that, God is saying, Solomon, I hear your prayer. I approve of what you just prayed. It was a speedy response to Solomon's heart of seeking after God for the people of God. It was amazing. God was saying, Solomon, I'm hearing exactly what you're saying. I feel like it, and I've been meditating this whole week preparing for tonight's service. And I feel like there are some of you in this place, and there's prayer requests. There's Solomon-type prayers. And for a lot of them, it's not really prayers for yourself. It's actually you're praying for somebody else, like Solomon. Solomon wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for his people. And there's some of you in this room that there's requests and there's things that you've been seeking God about, not necessarily for yourself, but for many people very, very close to you. And I feel like this is a word of the Lord for you in what you're going through right now in your life. That very simply said, that God hears. He has taken a hold of your sacrifice, the prayers offered up, that you've given your time, your efforts, your fasting and whatnot. And God hears those prayers, and the glory of God is going to come down. And the thing particularly about this is, when the Bible, in this context, when it talks about the glory of God, see, it's something that we need to kind of have an idea, a better idea, understanding of. God, when the glory of God comes down, God, he doesn't just answer our prayers. He actually comes in the midst of us. He doesn't just give us what we want or what we're asking him for. God personally comes down and visits us. Do you remember when I taught on Philippians this year? And, you know, it's the passage in Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious for everything, for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I remember, if you remember, I taught on this, and I taught about this simple aspect of this peace. Because if you think about it, whatever you're asking God for, I guarantee it, one of the outcomes is so you can have peace, so you can be happy, so you can be blessed. You're asking for a promotion at work, The end of the line, if God were to sit down and have a discussion with you over certain things that you're praying for, the end result will almost always be so you could be happier and be more peaceful, be more content with life, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You want a promotion, you want to get married, you want to get pregnant, you want a new job. All these things are basically, if you just go by to the why, I'm used to that because I got three kids. Everything's why. And then you get to that, almost always the ending result will be, so I could be happier. I want a raise so I can have more money, so I can provide more for my family, so I can do more things and whatnot, so I can be happy. You know, I want to get married because I'm lonely, you know, and I want to have meet somebody and I want to spend the rest of my life with someone, and so I could be happy. And because almost everything we pray for, healing, deliverance, whatever it may be, the end result will be basically be so I can be peaceful, so I can be happy and content. And notice the promise of God always. He doesn't just answer your prayers. And when he came down from heaven, it wasn't just to answer a prayer. It wasn't just to respond. He came down himself. He moved, his glory came down to be with them. And the passage is he filled the sanctuary. I mean, he just filled that place. He filled that place. There was actually hardly any room for people to sit in that place. The priests had to take turns and all kinds of different things. It says in verse 2, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. Can you imagine what that's like? God's presence was so emanating in that place. There wasn't any room for people. The temple was made for people. You know, but God decided to come down himself. And this is what God promises you. And it's such a stirring in my heart. And I feel like for so many of you, you've been asking for certain things, but God wants to give you himself. And don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to ask for those things. It's good stuff. But God wants to reorient us, and he doesn't want just to ask for, he wants to come down himself. He wants to fill your house and fill your life and fill your family and your possessions and all. He wants to fill it in such a way that there's no room for anything else. You know, that's my prayer, 2013. Seriously, that's my prayer, 2013. That's my prayer for Solomon's Porch, that we would be so filled with God that there's no room for anything else. You know, that whatever is filling our lives right now, and it's not necessarily good or bad things, it really doesn't matter, but be so filled with God that really literally is no room for anything else. Let the world around me fade away when I just begin to gaze at the glory of God. And this is exactly what happens. And he comes to this place and says, this is what it's about. And then they do this crazy, can you imagine? Can you imagine sacrificing 120,000 sheep? You know, I believe that they did this for 7 days because it took 7 days. I don't think it was a specified amount of time. I think they just round the clock. Can you imagine the blood and the gore? Thank God for the cross that we don't ever have to do this kind of stuff ever again, right? And then the Feast of Dedication comes and he comes and he dedicates this place before the Lord. And then this is what he says in verse 13. If I shut up the heavens that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour land, or if I send pestilence among my people. There's all those ifs again. I looked up. There's over 1,600 ifs in the Bible. Over 1,600 all over. The first one is actually Genesis chapter 4, dealing with Cain and Abel. And he basically says, hey, if you do good, it'll be good. If you don't, sin's encroaching at your door. It's this choice that God gave to Cain and Abel. It's this choice that God gives to us. And this is the word of the Lord. Unfortunately, my translation doesn't have the if, so I put it in myself. Because then my whole message doesn't make sense, right? So I got to... So, verse 14. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. In this consecration, this time, and that's really what this service is about, we're consecrating ourselves for a new year. And it's a lot of simple ifs. If my people who are called by my name, the first reality is that you belong to God. Number one, you belong to God. You are God's possession. You don't belong to anybody else. Your boss doesn't own you. Your wife or your husband doesn't own you. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your mom or dad. I mean, you honor all these relationships, but you belong to God. If God's saying, if my people who are called by my name, they're mine. And see, this goes to the reality for all of us that this idea, again, the if we as the people of God, if we don't do it, there's no hope. You know what I mean? If we, as people called by his name, if we don't carry forth and we don't accomplish God's purposes and move in that way, there's no hope for this world. And so it's the people of God, and it just simply says, and if we humble ourselves. I'm going to spend actually quite a bit of time this year talking about humility. If we truly, truly humble ourselves, I mean, not a false humility, but if we really, really bow down and give God all the glory that he deserves, if we truly, truly do that, something's going to happen in our lives. And that's another big if. That's another big if. Right? Will we humble ourselves before the Lord? All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Will you humble yourself before God? See, I think in many ways, if you don't mind me saying this, I think for many of us here, we need to be broken of our pride. I mean, really, really broken. Some of us, in pride things, the biggest issue is for a lot of us, we don't really feel like we have it. Yeah, but you do. I do. It's something that we fight all the time. There's a really famous story. When Muhammad Ali was flying on a plane, you guys know Muhammad Ali, the great boxer. Muhammad Ali was flying on a plane, and it was back in the early days, because, you know, he's an old guy now. And plane was taking off, and the stewardess came by and said, Mr. Ali, you need to buckle your seatbelt. And Muhammad Ali turned to the stewardess and said, hey, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And so the stewardess, very sharp, turned up Muhammad Ali and says, hey, Superman don't need no plane. Right? I like that story. It puts people in their place. And in that same sense, I think some of us, 2013, God's going to put us in our place. I hated to say that, but it's the reality. Right? You have to humble yourself this year. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. I know that 2012 was the year of prayer. I'm sorry. It's continuing on. 2013 is the year of prayer as well. I don't know why, man. I just can't stop preaching on prayer. Maybe because we're not praying enough. Wouldn't it be great? This is the hope and dream that you guys pray so much, I could preach on something else. I'm dying to preach on something else. But to humble ourselves and to pray. I really do. I really feel God's continually stirring us in this area to continue to seek after the Lord in prayer. And I was looking at the preaching calendar and whatnot, and probably, we're probably going to go for at least another 6 months on the topic of prayer for a bit. And then we'll see how God continues to lead us. But this is, we need to pray. God's giving us an incredible opportunity to start off this year by fasting. And the last two Sundays we've been preaching on it. Next Sunday I'll continue on. But it's time to come together and pray. We meet here every Monday. During the fasting time, Monday through Saturday, 7 o'clock in the morning, to come together. And the beauty of fasting is not necessarily the fasting, and that's good too, but it's actually the doing it together. There's just something so profound about that. And you know what's really incredible this year is that this year we're fasting from three different locations. Hong Kong, Beijing, and Singapore. And so there's SPers in each of these places, and Cambodia. That's right, okay. Four places, right? And I'm sure, I mean, there's other people joining us as well. Well, that's right, there's two of you there. So, okay, I guess we can count that in then. Because you can't be the church by yourself. Remember that, right? You're only the church as you relate to someone else who's the church. Since there's two of you, so, four locations this year of coming together and seeking His face and fasting, and continue to learn how to pray. And the only way I can try to explain this in my own heart to understand this full picture is that, man, God must have something amazing in store for us. I'm serious. There must be something quite amazing in store if God's continually training us how to pray. Just over and over and over again. And I know that when I talked about the regrets, for some of you, it's the first thing on your list. All right, let's be real. Let's be honest for a moment. All right, it was the year of prayer, and you didn't pray very much. I know that. You know, I mean, it's very obvious. I just look at you and know. You know, it's like you just didn't pray enough. I'm being quite honest now. You know, I don't have some kind of spiritual gift. You know, it's just in the natural. You could just know people didn't pray enough this year. Not that there's any kind of level that you need to have, but prayer, it emanates from you. You know what I mean? It just flows out of you because it changes your whole countenance in the way that you live your life. A prayerful man is a godly man. A prayerful woman is a godly woman. These things are interconnected, and God's got to continue to teach us to pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And to give themselves to prayer. I mean, what an opportunity of God that you have. I was in, you know, this week I was in Beijing and I was ministering there to the group. And my simple thing was like, man, you know, all that God has in store and all that the Lord wants to do, couldn't you just give up a few meals? I mean, wouldn't you just give up a hamburger? You know, to get a hold of the resource of God and what God wants to do, isn't it worth it to skip a few meals and to go to sleep a little earlier? And I was because the people there in Beijing, they've never heard about fasting in their whole life, and so I was watching their eyes. They were like, what? I mean, it was just crazy. It was actually reminds me way back in 2002, when SP first started. Actually, before we were SP, and I announced that we're fasting, and it's the same look on their face. People are kind of like looking at me like, "What? What planet are you from, man? You know, are you crazy or something?" I remember so vividly. I think the most astonished look I think during that time was actually Jung's face. You know, I mean, it's still picture in my mind. It's kind of like, what? Are you serious? You know, the skepticism. You know, he's a changed man. House church leader now. Finally! sucker, right? Praise God. But it was that same look, and I ended up preaching for about an hour and 15 minutes. And the whole time, for me personally, I hope they're not listening online. They probably are, but I was battling, man. You know, because I was working hard to convince them of something that was so biblical. And then I got to the simple point. I just said, hey, for all that God has in store, isn't it worth it just to lay down and not eat a few meals? And I could literally see light bulbs go off in people's minds. And so then after that, the whole rest of the evening, the conversation was basically, all right, you know, oh, what should I do? You know, how about this and whatnot? It's amazing. Right? Absolutely amazing. But it just goes back to that simple thing. God's given us this opportunity. Isn't it worth it? I mean, for all the things that we're praying for and the purposes of God in your life and the life of the church and here in Hong Kong, isn't it worth it to give up a few meals? To give up some cake? You really don't need it anyway. It's good once in a while, but you know what I mean? To go to sleep a little earlier, to wake up a little earlier, and to see what God can do through your life, if you do it, real simple. And then seek my face. And I really like this phrase, seek my face, because this is really the whole purpose of when we go to fast and when we go to prayer, is to seek his face. Have you ever heard this phrase? Seek his face and not his hand. In other words, you seek that relationship. You seek that intimacy and you seek that oneness, not what God can do for you. For a lot of us, in our beginning Christian life, that's what happens. A lot of us, we come to God because he does things for us. He gives us access. I know people come to church for first, second, third time to build business connections. I know that. I'm not offended by it. It's a good door. I know people come to church in the beginning, early on, to meet people, good-looking people. Yeah, I know that. I'm not offended by that. It's kind of a natural thing because we're sinful and we come with agendas and all different things happen. But then you get to a place where you appreciate what God can do for you, but you get enamored by God himself. That God alone, not the blessings that he gives, not the forgiveness, and I mean, all those things are wonderful, but that God himself and that desire for relationship and intimacy begins to flow. And you seek his face and not his hand. I remember years ago when I was, and actually our church, that I was a youth pastor at, we had this incredible season of revival. I mean, God was just poured out his spirit upon us, and it was way in the beginning, and we had this worship service right after a retreat. It was actually impromptu, coming back from the retreat where God had shown up, and Pastor Eugene back then, he was just a, you know, I think were you a sophomore at UCLA? I was a young pup. And he was leading worship. And, you know, he was just leading worship and whatnot. And we sang this Keith Green song. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. You guys remember? You guys don't even know who Keith Green is, but that's okay. You're young. It's okay. But go Google it. It's amazing. And says, your face is all I seek. And I remember I was sitting at the corner up in the front, and I remember getting on my knees and just singing that song and just crying. But it was just more out of my own emotions. And then P. Eugene was singing that song over and over again. And the reality of those words, I want to see your face, just kept coming. And I had this incredible, I can't explain it. It must have been a supernatural desire to see God's face. And I mean, to draw close to God. I just wanted him so bad. And he came. I literally felt a presence standing right in front of me. And it was the most incredible I'll probably say experience of my whole life, spiritual experience of my whole life. And the other, the crazy thing is right after that experience, where I just wanted God so bad. I mean, just so bad. And then immediately after that, I thought I was going to die. It was just this crazy, I can't explain it. It was just kind of, it was just this ecstasy of being in God's presence, and you know, it's kind of with the Shekinah glory of God comes, and there's no room for anything else. I'm in that space, and then as soon as that moment is passing, the next moment is just sheer terror, as if I'm going to die. And it's kind of like what the prophets talk about. They said, oh, I've seen your face. I'm going to die. You know, this kind of thing. And I thought it was a very weird occurrence until I started reading revival history. And I saw men and women throughout the history of revival that had the same exact experiences. They literally thought they were going to die. There's very famous stories of William Seymour, who started the Azusa Street Pentecost movement, and that he would actually have a big shoebox, a big crate, and when the glory of God would come, he would hide under the pulpit and put a crate over his head, and he would shake. And he would just think, God, I'm going to die. Just take me right now. That's exactly how I felt. It was crazy. Right? I mean, just, but it's that heart of just saying, God, I just want you. I don't want your benefits, even though those are good things. God, I just want you to seek his face and not his hand. Do you know what I mean? It's just amazing. We have many couples that are going to get married this year, right? Congratulations. All right, congratulations, Nate. Right? He's not married yet. You don't have to applaud yet, right? Wait till the day comes. But I'm sure you're feeling a lot of stuff right now. Yes? For Monica. It's not very convincing, but many of us that are married and remember those early days, hopefully you're more in love with your wife now and your husband, but probably not, but go back to those days, right? I mean, I know how life is. And just that burning passion for one another, we should have that for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, seeking his face and not his hand. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that our sole obsession this coming year would be God and nothing else. Just simply that. And then turn from their wicked ways. Reform our lives. If there is things, and I mentioned the regrets that we came into, if there is things that you did this year that you regretted, don't do it next year. That's that simple. I mean, really, it's that simple. Just don't do it. I remember I was sitting in my seminary class, and Dr. Wagner was teaching, and he was talking about holiness. And he's just a very humble man, and he was talking about holiness, and he just sat there and he says, you know, I didn't sin today. And I was what? I was like, what the, this crazy guy, what are you talking about? I think that's sin. You just sin right now because you lied, you know? And he's like, I didn't sin today. And he was literally sitting there, and he goes, you know, I actually haven't sinned in a few days. And I was just kind of like, is that possible? I realized it is possible. I mean, it really is. And I'm not saying that from this day and moment on, I don't want anyone to sin anymore. I mean, that would be a nice thing. But we're fallen, we're broken. But it's the possibility that you could live a holy life. That you really can. That we need to reprogram our brains and our spirits and our mind to grasp the reality that God is a holy God and we can live a holy life. You can say no to things. You cannot do things that you do. We can turn from our wicked ways. You can. God will give you the strength. But see, I like the way this is positioned because it's at the end. Because trust me, if you seek his face, you humble yourself, you pray, you seek his face, it's going to be easy for you to turn away from evil things. It will be. If you try to turn away from evil things on your own, it's going to be very difficult. But if you humble yourselves, right, you pray, you seek His face, you seek intimacy with God, I think that turning away from evil things, I think it just happens. Do you know what I mean? It's just one, it just comes upon us. You don't have to strive so much. And I think I feel like that's what Dr. Wagner was talking about. Just this reality of this holy God that's made available for every single one of us. Arm yourself to turn away from evil things. Arm yourself. If you know that there are certain situations that come alongside of you, arm yourself against those situations. Be wise. Be on top of your game. Whatever it may be. It could be a lustful, sexual thing, or it could be maybe issues with lying or whatnot, or coveting, or so many different things that kind of are placed upon us. In that, arm yourself to turn away from these things, whatever these things may be. And he says, and if we do these things, God says, guess what? I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. This is a relationship. It's talking about forgiveness, and then the overflow of that is the people around us. It's outreach. It's amazing. And this is God's promise from us. He'll hear from heaven, He'll forgive our sin, and we'll heal our land. He'll give you everything that we need to succeed. Amen? But it's a big if. It's a huge if. Big old, you got a pen, I'm going to give you a pad of paper in a moment. You put this big if. Big, it's spelled IF, if you don't know, okay? I know it's late at night. I'm way past my bedtime as well. And you put it on there, and this is the word of the Lord. It's kind of the ball's in your court. The ball's in my court right now. You can do it. God's with you. God's got your back. If He is for us, who can be against us? But it's still a big if. You have to partner with Him. Why don't we pass out these pads? And as a custom that we do here at Solomon's Porch, I want you to take one post-it. This is why you need to have a Bible. Because you can put this in there. Oh, I guess you can put it on your smartphone as well. But there's something about some tangible in your hand, right? Good piece of leather. We don't believe in New Year's resolutions. Okay? That's for losers. Because no one ever keeps a resolution. We know that. All those guys that run gyms, health clubs, they rely on resolutions. People come in, they go in for a month, they never come back. That's what I mean. So, I just want you to put 2013 on the top, and we're going to pray together. And I want you to put a big if on top of that. And then write down exactly what you feel God calling you to do. These could be goals for the year. I'm going to read you some of mine from last year. 2012. Number one, once a week date with Lisa. I'm happy to announce that I'm faithful. Not every week, but we have our Friday morning breakfast time together. Once a week, that's not bad. Number two, once a week special time with each daughter. Not so good in this regard. I spend time, but I don't know if they consider it special. And so I have to rephrase this. And then number three, once a day special time with Jesus. I could do a little better with this. I had some goals for SP in 2012. The one was grow church to three services by summer. We didn't quite get there yet, but we will get there very soon. In fact, we're probably going to be starting a Saturday night service fairly soon, so just FYI. And that means if you come Saturday, you don't have to come on Sunday. Okay, if you want to come on Sunday, you can, but you're going to hear the same message again. So, and then this is beautiful. SP Beijing grow to 50 members, right? They're already past 60, praise God. So that was my simple, I keep it simple. Okay, so I want you to take your pad with you, with a big if, and I'm going to pray over us right now, and I'm just going to ask the Lord to speak to us about something He's challenging us, or certain things that we are to apprehend this year coming forward. All right, so Father, Lord, I just pray for my church family, God. I pray for members of this house, and I pray, God, that You would just speak to us right now. God, if, God, we as Your people call by Your name, if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek Your face, turn from our evil ways, God, that You will hear from heaven, You'll forgive our sins, and You'll heal our land. And so would You come, Holy Spirit, would You speak to us right now, God, about challenges, Lord, about certain things that You're calling us to. God, that we can do it, God, if we trust You. Lord, it could be the salvation of friends, or it could be certain goals at work, God, or family. But I pray right now, God, that You would speak to us, Lord. Let this not be something that just is a natural activity. Let this be a supernatural activity. As Holy Spirit, You breathe upon us right now. And we write down, God, not our dream, but Your dream in our life. And so we thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, why don't you spend some time? Nate, can you come back up here? If you still need a pad or pen available here. And let's write down, 2013.
seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Happy New Year!
All right, you guys finished writing? Let's stand to our feet. Place that pad in your hands and let's pray together. But if you're done, stand to our feet. If you're not done, keep writing. We'll wait for you. Let 2013 be the year of no regrets. Let this be the year that you live out the fullness of what God has in store for you this year. Many of the plans in a man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they shall prevail. Some of you guys are writing prophetically. Yes and amen to that. And if you're done, I want you to hold that paper in your hand. I'll wait for some of you guys who are still writing. It's okay. God has a lot in store for you this year. It's okay. You keep writing. I encourage you to put your pad, to post it. Stick it in your Bible. Pray over it all the time. Remember it. Be challenged by it. I'll just give you guys a little bit more time. And when you guys are done, just place it in your hand and just start praying. Just say, God, I don't want to live in regret this year. Say, God, I want to fulfill and accomplish all that you have in store for me, my life, for my family. Say, Lord, I want to turn vision into reality. And I want to go from potential to fulfillment. And let's usher in the new year right now. And let's pray. Let's humble ourselves right now. And let's pray. Let's seek His face, not His hand. Let's turn away from evil things. Huh? Go ahead, right where you're at. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray together. Thank you. I just continue to commit those goals, those things that you wrote down to the Lord. Just pray for them one by one. And say, God, I want to see this come into fulfillment. If. I'm just continue to pray over all those things. I hope that you have some goals for the church as well, not just personally. And you cover those as well before God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And after you've prayed over all these things, I want you to find somebody here. I want you to pray with them. Just encouraging each other. Just lifting each other up and just asking God's hand to be expressed in one another. I'm just going to give you a license to be free and to prophesy over one another and be a real blessing. So just find somebody around you. They don't have to be your best friend. They could be your future best friend. And just sit down and just pray together. And allow the Lord to knit hearts with one another. It's okay. Groups of three is okay too. Let's find someone. Let's pray for each other tonight. Pray for God's purposes in 2013 over their life. Pray that everything on that list would come into fruition. Pray for breakthroughs. Pray for a heart of humility, a heart to seek His face. Bless each other. Thank you, Jesus. If you're praying, please continue to pray. Let me just pray for us as we close our time together. Father, we thank you, God, for watching over us this past year. We thank you for the incredible joys and victories, God, that you've given to us. And God, even the challenges that have come our way, God, has made us better, stronger, wiser. And so, Lord, as we launch into the new year, God, we pray for the favor of God to flow in our hearts. We pray, God, that we as a people of God who are called by your name, God, that we would humble ourselves and pray. God, that we would seek your face, turn away from evil things, God, so that you would come and hear us, God, that you'd have a relationship with us, Lord. That, God, you would come, God, and minister to the depths of our needs, God, Lord, and that you would forgive us of our sins and heal our land, heal those around us, God, that need you so desperately. Lord, we pray, God, that we would be the people, God, that follow through, Lord. So watch over us, God. We thank you for tonight, God. Seal the word in our heart, Lord. And I pray that all those things that were written down on those pages, God, precious to you, Lord, God, precious to me, God, that, Lord, that we would, God, not just be a possibility, but we would see it come into fruition, Lord. And so we thank you for your promises, God. They are yes and amen. And we, God, we pledge ourselves, we commit ourselves, God, to fulfill and to do whatever is necessary, Lord, to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our life, in our church's life, in our family's life, and here in Hong Kong and Asia, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Please continue to pray and seek God's face. In the back, we have some refreshments. And please do take a photo. And we want to keep a nice record of that that's out there in the back. Okay? Have a great rest tomorrow. And we'll see you guys bright and early Wednesday morning.